growing purple. Ay, alabos. Our God is great. Our God is strong. God, you are high. You're high above every sickness. You're high above every issue. You're high above every disease, oh God. You're high above every situation, oh God. You're high above every burden, oh God. You're high above it all. So right now we give you the glory. That's to your name. It's to your name. Out of a bus. It's to your name. I say, it's to your name. Out of a bus. It's to your name. I'm in a bus. It's to your name. It's to your name. It's to your name. Oh, you, oh God, I hold my side. Hey, God, we thank you for sweeping through the room right now. Sweep through, sweep through, sweep through. Hey, I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry. We thank you for your glory, Lord. We thank you for your glory, Lord. Oh, Ramana Suri, Ramana Suri, Ramana Suri, Ramana Suri, sweep through the room, sweep through the room, sweep through the room, sweep through the room, cause you're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. And Lord, you're so good. You're better than good. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. And we come for no other reason but to see you high and lifted up, oh God. Oh, we want to see you high and lifted up. All of the glory, all of the glory, all of the glory, all of the glory goes to you. All of the glory goes to you. All of the glory goes to you. For you are good.
Hallelujah, Father.
You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good to me, Jesus. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your grace, oh God.
Hallelujah! 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 He's been so good. He's been so good. Oh, he's been so good. I don't know what you've been through. Some of you have gone through traumatic situations, but he's been so good.
Yes.
Oh, you're still living. The thing that you went through.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, hallelujah. Some of us been through cancer, but you're still here.
Yeah.
He's been so good. Some of you all had strokes and heart attacks, but you're still here. He's been so good. Some of you been through divorces, and you didn't know what was going to happen after that, but you're still here. But you're still here because he's been so good. He's been so good to me. Hallelujah. Better than I could be to my own self. Oh, I didn't know somebody can love me more than I can love my own self. Hallelujah. Oh, and I thought I loved me some me. But he loved me more than I love my own self. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, God, God. I just want to give honor to God.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. We are here today to give God some praise. Would y'all put your hands together for God? In the name of Jesus, because he's been so good, so good, Lord. That preached by itself.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Ah, shut up, Oliana. That preaches by itself. He's been so. He's a good, good father.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Yes. He's been better than I've been to my own self. If you would you turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel? I'll be reading from the NIV. I'll be reading from the New International Version. We're going to go to three passages here in 1 Samuel. We're going to go to from 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 10 through 17, and then I'm going to read verses 25 to 28. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to go over to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, where I'm going to go from verse 20 to 21. If you have a phone, you have a Bible, we're going to get right on into this word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In verse 10 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, it reads, "In her deep anguish," hallelujah, "Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant misery and remember me." Oh, he's been better than I've been to my own self. "And not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not even heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put your wine away. Put that alcohol down." She says, "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul, to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. No, no. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked." Hallelujah. Of him. I'm going right to 25 to 28. It says, when the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. Ah, there he is. And she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as we live, as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over," oh my goodness, "to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. I'm going right over to 1 Samuel, the second chapter, one verse. We're going 20 to 21. It says, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. Hallelujah. I love that part. They would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. When our desires are met with an agreement, those desires become a reality. I said, when our desires are met with an agreement, hallelujah, those desires become a reality. Today, I want to talk to you about how a formula I discovered that if you use this formula, you will get what you want from God. I said today, I want to talk to you about a formula I discovered that if you use this formula, you will get what you want from God. Let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We just thank you for allowing us to have space on the earth. Lord, we don't need a building. God, we have the earth, God. Yes. And so for that, God, I say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that right now, God, you do what you want to do on your earth. Yes. Not in this place, but on your earth, God. Yes. Hide me behind your cross. You do what you want to do. Lord, there will be transformation in this place today. Yes. I believe your word. And I pray, Lord, that this word resonates on the hearts of your people. If you believe that prayer, say amen, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. In the book of Samuel, this chapter is just rich. If you're somebody that preaches, I'm telling you what, the chapter alone is so rich with content, you can preach that thing for a year. That's how rich the thing is. But based on my focus, I can only focus on just 2 characters. And those characters in this particular text is Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, and Eli, the priest of Shiloh. Hallelujah. But before I can explain how their lives literally intersect, I have to share with you the power of touching and agreeing.
Yes. Yes.
The power of touching and agreeing. Touching and agreeing is a godly principle.
Yes.
It's a godly concept.
Yes.
Do you know a thing cannot be established unless there are two or more people in an agreement.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. It won't even work mm-hmm. unless there are two or more in an agreement. An agreement, for an example, could be like, what's up? It could be like, amen. It could be like a handshake or a high five or a hug. Or, you know, back in the day, to get an agreement going on, you give them that good old-fashioned handshake like it's a deal. It's a deal. That's how they did in the old days. Now, in professional time, they'll put a contract together, and the way you submit that contract, the way we touch and agree on that contract is our signature, that Johnny Hancock, right? That's how we do it. Hallelujah. Right. Now, we also see agreement in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you go back and look at in Genesis, the Bible says, and God. If you go look at that in the Hebrew, that's Elohim, which means God in the plural sense. I know that messes you up. We have a one God. But he says, let us, in verse 26, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Right? Isn't that amazing that God can make a thing happen in and of his own self? He don't need man to touch and agree with what he got to do. He's already set in an agreement.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Look, that just messed me up. He set his own self up to make sure that he can do a thing whenever he wants to do a thing. Hallelujah. Elohim. Hallelujah. We see this also in the time of the city of Babel. They were building a tower, hallelujah, into the heaven. And they all agreed. Yeah. They were about to do that thing because they were all on one accord. They were in an agreement,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the Lord was like, yo, what is that sound? He sends his angels down to mess that whole thing up so that the people wouldn't be in an agreement. Let me say something to somebody right now. If you're in a marriage or you're in a relationship and that thing is right, you're going through some things right now, the devil is trying to divide your language. How can two walk together? Let's say agree. That's the way it works. A thing cannot be established unless there are two or three gathered together. Look, Jesus says, listen, if you want anything from my Father, you can pray anything to Father. You can pray anything to Father. But let it be two or three gathered together, and he'll do a thing. He also says, if there are two or three gathered together, there I am in the midst. That means that in order to get God's presence, we got to be in an agreement. I wish I had some amen. I got pockets. Amen. I say, I do. Hallelujah. Hannah, she is the wife of Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives, and she's the second wife of Elkanah, right? And let me explain something now. All right, I saw the women get in. Back in this time, this was not considered uncommon. This is just how they did things. And, you know, this is just how they did things. Now, it didn't change the principle because, bottom line, one woman gonna be mad. That's just the way it worked. This was not God's way, but this was something that they did culturally, right? And so, Elkanah was a worshiping man, and he took his wives and he took his children from the one wife up to worship the God, our God. And Elkanah would give a portion to his first wife, and he would give a portion to her children. But he would give a double portion to Hannah. Hallelujah. And it's funny because Hannah couldn't have children. God shut it down. She didn't shut it down. God shut it down. Right? And whatever doors the Lord closed, no man can open. And whatever doors that the Lord opens, no man can shut.
That's right.
So she was shut down. And the Bible calls Hannah's, Elkanah's first wife a rival to Hannah. A rival. That means that we're competing for the same thing. But I'm here to tell you there was no competition because Elkanah's first wife was having all the babies. And Hannah wasn't having it. There was no contest. So Elkanah's first wife is teasing Hannah because she's getting the double portion, but nothing's happening.
Right.
She's getting all the offerings to give to, she's doing everything she's supposed to do, double. But the Lord is not blessing her. And the first wife is teasing her.
That's right.
She's teasing her. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been in a situation where you were doing everything you were supposed to do? You worshiping the Lord, you're serving him, you're obedient. But it seems like everybody around you are elevating. They getting the call. They getting the job. They're elevating. And meanwhile, while you're doing all you can to be obedient, you're being provoked and irritated. Come on, somebody. I'm online and I see people doing their thing. You know, I see people speaking live streaming. Now, everybody expert now, elder. You know, all you got to do is put some books behind you. But the way that looks to up, you know what I'm talking about. You got that library behind you. And now you an expert, but to the naked eye, oh, they doing it. Right? You see somebody with that nice car, that nice house, you like, man, I should be there. I've been doing all I can. It's like the internet is teasing me. It's like it's provoking me. Hallelujah. Now I want to focus on doing what they're doing, because now people, the internet's provoking me. People are provoking me. Everything that I see is provoking me. And I have my friends around me, my closest friends are saying, listen, it's not a big deal. You won't be all right. But in your heart of hearts, this is your preference. This is what you want. It's in your heart. Hallelujah. It's in your heart. And if it's your preference can cause you to lose your patience. Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor and say, come on, touch your neighbor and say, your preference can cause you to lose your patience. Come on. Come on. You could have had God's best, but you didn't want to submit to the process, so you settled because you lost your patience. Come on. I'm going to talk real, right? I'm going to talk real. You settled.
Yeah.
When you lost that patience, you settled for something less than what God was trying to do for you. So you settled. You got that relationship too soon. Hallelujah. Some of us still trying to get out of that relationship. Right? You got that relationship too soon. Some of us bit the orange too soon. If you got to listen to Wednesday night, you will understand. And understand, when you bite that orange, you got to understand, you're getting into a covenant agreement that's stronger than the ink. That is a blood covenant. The way God sees it is that now two have been put together. Now you become one flesh. That is a blood covenant. You've created an agreement. And you try to figure out why you can't break this spell. I can't get that hooks out of my back. That's because you won, baby. You can't get along, but you won. Because you created a covenant. Some of us settled for that car too soon. You saw your boy rolling. You went on and got your car. Your interest rate is through the roof. You've had your car 20 years. You're still paying on it. Right? Right? You bought that house too soon.
Yep.
You declared that major too soon. I got band members in the church, and they can't even sing or play an instrument. You know what I'm saying? You declared something too soon because you saw somebody else doing it. Your preference has the power for you to lose your patience, which can lead you to settle for anything. Come on. I want to talk to somebody, because this happens to me. I got to get down here.
Come on.
I want to talk to you. This happens to me. I don't know if it happens to you, but I could be driving down 83, 695, 90, whatever. Minding my business, just thinking about all the goodness of the Lord. And a memory comes back, and I become Steve Urkel. Stephen Urkel. Did I do that? Did I do that? I'm thinking, like, I can't believe that I did that with them.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? Y'all with me on this?
wasn't thinking.
I quickly had, you feel me? Everybody don't want to laugh, but it's okay. I know I've been there. Right? You buy something too soon and you get that buyer's remorse. Why did I buy that? Why did I do that? And you feel the regret and the shame. I don't know if any pastor's ever done this. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know what my biggest fear is? My biggest fear is, before I was in this position, when I was out there in the world hurting people, doing people wrong, that one of those people would come in here for salvation, seeking the Lord, for the Lord to save their life, and they would walk in here and see me and walk away. That is my greatest fear, because why did I do that? Why do that? Because your preference can lead you to lose your patience. But the truth, it's funny because I play, a lot of my friends are Bible people, and they say, man, you know, all things work together for them to love the Lord and to call it according to his purpose. But the truth is, I chose my preference over his purpose. Eli, the priest of Shiloh. This was a town in Israel where the tabernacle was present. The tabernacle was like this. It was like this tent. And in the tent was the Holy of Holies. This is where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a golden material where the presence of the Lord dwelled. In that time, today, when we believe on the Lord, confessing our mouth that Jesus is Lord, see, we can receive the Holy Spirit within our vessels, within our bodies. Back then, no. They had it in the Ark of the Covenant, and this priest had it, because there were many priests in Israel. He had the Ark of the Covenant. But watch this. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. These men were corrupting the church. They were stealing money from the tithers and the sowers, and they were getting the orange at the gate. Now, listen, if y'all didn't listen to Wednesday night, you won't know what the orange is. Go back. It's the orange theory. They were getting the orange at the gate with the women who were serving. They were corrupting God's church. Eli would hear these reputations going on about his sons, but his preference caused him to lose patience and settle for the corruption his boys were committing. His preference caused him to lose his integrity. He preferred his son's behavior over God's purpose. Are you following me? Can you imagine wanting to leave something for your children? Something honorable? Something respected? A legacy? And they're not even honorable or worthy of having it? But your preference is causing you to honor corruption over God's purpose. Come on. It's when we lose God's purpose in our life in exchange for our preference is when we lose God's presence. I'm going to say that again. It's when we lose God's purpose in our life in exchange for our, what I want to do, preference, is when we lose God's presence. Come on. Man, do you understand how important God's presence is? David says this, do not cast me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Come on. He says, glory and honor are in the presence of the Lord. Listen, Moses was asked to go up yonder, and he says, listen, if you're not going to hang out with us, if you're not coming with us, don't send us. I don't want to go nowhere without you. David says, where can I escape you? Where can I go without your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. Hallelujah. If I go down in the depths of hell, yes.
still there.
Oh, I can't mistake the Lord. You are there. That's the importance of his presence. Without his presence, our preference don't have purpose.
Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Without his presence, our preference don't have purpose.
Come on.
Hannah and Eli are both battling between preference and purpose. The thing I want versus the thing that God wants for me. Hallelujah. But I know I got some praying people in here. There was a shift that happened when Hannah decided to pray. Oh, man. How many of you know that you shift things when you pray? If I got any power position folks in the house, that you know you can change a thing. I don't know what you're going through, but you know how to shift the atmosphere in your power position. This woman goes down into her power position. Hallelujah. She put her preference for God's purpose. And she makes a vow that if you give me a son, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. Come on. How many of you would be willing to give up what you want in order for what God wants? Come on. I know you're a control freak. So am I. Right? Come on. How many of you would put your marriage in God's hands? How many of you would put your children in God's hands? How many of us would put our bills in God's hand, your debt in God's hand, your ambition? Let go and put our preference in God's hands. Hallelujah. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I came to talk to somebody today. I was hoping the Lord wouldn't let me talk about this. Oh, some of you stopped believing in the power of prayer a long time ago. Yes. A long time ago. And even to this day, you still hold resentment to God. Hallelujah. Because you know in your heart of hearts, he could have healed them. He could have saved them. He could have brought them back. You know it. But you got to understand something. There has to be an agreement. You have to lay your preference down for his purpose. And because you didn't let go of your preference, you couldn't see God's presence. He's in it. And you lost your patience. So you settled and things got real, real low. Because you not only lost what was valuable to you, but you shut out God's presence and purpose for your preference. Hannah was willing to choose God's purpose by giving up her preference. She then gave God an offering of praise. The Bible says that as she praised, she got into her power position. And her heart was full, but her words were empty. Her heart was full, but her words were empty. The Spirit was making intercession for her with utterings and groanings that cannot be uttered. We think that she wasn't speaking in tongues. She was praying with her whole heart. Come on. What are you willing to do to get in the face of God? This woman was trying to get God's attention. And she poured her whole heart out. What amazes me is, as she's praying to the Lord, and she says, I'm going to give this son back to you. Just give him to me. The priest sees this and thinks she's drunk. Come on, somebody. He thinks that she's drunk. How long can you be in a position so long where you're not even exercising your faith and even recognize what true worship looks like? He can't even recognize it because he's so caught up in his position. He doesn't even know how to be in the power position. Doesn't even know what it looks like. And she tells him, No, no, no. I'm not wicked. I'm not a drunkard. No, 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 no. I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord. I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is so good. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's amazing because when you pray by emptying your heart out, that's what it takes. That's what it takes when you're giving up your preference for God's purpose. You have to put it all on the line. You got to put your heart all the way on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hallelujah. Some of us gave up the power a long time ago. Because he didn't answer your prayers when you needed him the most. But did it ever occur to you that in order to get God's presence, you have to give up your preference so that his purpose can be fulfilled? The Bible says many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Eli, the priest who allowed corruption to occur in the temple, gets a firsthand look at what it looks like to give up your preference. So while he's in the seat of anointing, while he's in his position of authority, he blesses her. He blesses her. Hallelujah. And we live in a time today where we have cancel culture because we're like, how could he bless her? He living on his own preference. But understand, the gifts are not given until repentance. Whatever you got still flows. So that's the thing. We don't want to miss out on God's blessing because we're stuck on cancel culture. The gifts still flow. It still flows. So he touches and agrees with her and tells her, may God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. He tells her, may God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, saints. Simultaneously, an agreement was established. He touched and agreed. They gave up their preference for God's purpose. Now, she knew what the purpose was, but Eli didn't. This meant that Eli's descendants, his boys, would not no longer be priests anymore. That the child of Hannah's will take over the priesthood. He didn't even know. He just touched and agreed, and that's all you need. You don't need to understand. All you need is somebody on earth to touch. Hallelujah, in agreement. She made her preference about God. She gave her heart to God. And the agreement was established for two or more. I want you to get this down. She made her preference about God. She gave her heart to God. And the agreement was established with two or more. And I want you to hear this. This is the whole message and the principle. In God's agreement, when preference yields to God's presence, God gives your preference purpose.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again.
Okay.
In God's agreement, when preference yields to God's presence, God gives your preference purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, you give God some praise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In the next chapter, she dedicates her son to the Lord, and she comes and visits her son annually. And the same Eli comes and sees it and touches her husband and say, may God bless you with more children. And they went home, and they had he touched and agreed again with her.
That's
the power of touching and agreeing. And she went, and they had more kids. They had three more boys and two more girls. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
the Father, our Father in heaven, gave his preference. He gave his very best. He gave his only son, his heart, his word for our purpose. If we touch and agree on it, we will have eternal life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He made it about you. He gave himself back to you. That's the agreement. I'm going to say that again. He made it about you. He gave himself back to you. That's the agreement. If you want something from God, make it about God. Give it back to him. That's the agreement. That's the formula. Amen. That's how you will get what you want from God. In God's agreement, when preference yields to God's presence, God gives preference purpose. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me.
Good word.
Bow your heads with me. In God's agreement, when preference yields to God's presence, God gives preference purpose. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. My prayer is that this word did not fall on this grass that we stand on, but it blesses the hearts and the minds of your people. That, Lord, we know that we need each other to survive. Father, this last three messages were about us, about our unity, about our strength, about our agreement. And Lord, I pray that this message has connected with each and every one that hears the sound of my voice, that we're willing to agree with one another, because we know that two cannot walk together unless they agree. If this house is divided, it can't stand. Father, I believe that the ones that are here are engrafted in this ministry. And for us to go to where you want us to go, Father, we need everybody in agreement. Would you touch the neighbor beside you? Just touch him. God, what an honor it is to be around amongst your people, joining forces, connected as one body in an agreement. But we agree that this community will be clean and pure and the way you see it. But we agree that this school will be full of students that would be on fire for Jesus. But we pray right now, God, that anybody that comes in our tent, in our holy of holies, Lord, that they will be able to feel your presence and transformation will occur on the spot. Lord, we bind cancer in the name of Jesus. We bind COVID in the name of Jesus. We bind anything that comes against our body or mind. We bind Alzheimer's disease in the name of Jesus. Satan, you cannot have our mind. Hallelujah. I bind post-traumatic stress disorder right now and in agreeing with my body, God. This is my body. This is your body, Father, the body of Christ. We bind brokenness right now, God. Emptiness, God, right now in the name of Jesus. There's anybody that is broken, God, we know that you're able to make it whole, God. If there's anybody that is willing to give their life to you, God, salvation is here. It exists right here. I agree with this family, oh God, that this church, all we've seen is the beginning. that this church will grow exponentially.
Yes. Yes.
And it will be greater than any one building, God.
Yes. Yes.
It will truly be the church without walls.
Yes.
We don't need them, Father.
Yes.
Just give us the earth.
Yes.
And we'll do what you want us to do.
Amen.
Now, God, we thank you.
Thank you.
You pray for the hearts and minds of all those that heard the sound of my voice. And it's in Jesus.